Amen. Turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs.
Proverbs chapter what? Yeah. Proverbs chapter what? I didn't put it on the bulletin, did I? Chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to go back. You're like, we're going to go back to the beginning. Well, we're going to go back and I think we got to about chapter something. And we're going to go back and hit some of the verses that we didn't get yet. So that's what we're going to do, spend a little bit of time doing that and see what, I wasn't intending for it to be an exhaustive study of Proverbs. And I mean, if I spent my life doing it, it wouldn't be an exhaustive study, but at least for me to try to hit every verse. And so we'll see what happens. Amen. At my speed, I'm going to be very old by the time we get. Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 8. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." All right. So we're going to look at this a little bit. I want to just kind of in the way of an introduction a little bit is talk about this. Solomon is preparing his son for real life, right? For real life. And that's what he's been doing. It's what he does through the book of Proverbs. Every one of us are going to face pressure, influence, enticements, right? Wouldn't it be great to be a world without temptation? There's coming a day. Amen. But it's not today. The question is not if temptation will come. The question is, what condition will you be in when it does come? So the passage this passage really shows us two things we're going to talk about a little bit. Is this, what is placed on you, right? And what will come against you? Okay, this is kind of the two areas we're going to see in this passage. What is placed on you, and we're going to describe that. You're like, what do you mean? We'll get to that. And then what was going to come against you. The decision in temptation, the decision in the time of temptation is not made in the moment. Okay, the decision isn't made in the moment. It's made in what you've already allowed to shape you. Okay? How you're already shaped is going to determine that. So number one, we got there. Number one, truth is meant to be worn. Yeah, you didn't see that coming, did you? Kayla would have been disappointed if she'd have been here. The girls are out on vacation. They're taking a spring break, and they're out on a cruise, cruising the Atlantic. So hopefully they come back. Joy is here. Did everybody get to see Joy? She's here. She's in the back. She's taking Joe's place tonight. So she's going to come. You're going to come home from college. We're putting you to work, college student. You know, and so she's back there. So truth is meant to be worn, not just heard. Look again at verse 9. "For they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck." Okay, so A, Solomon describes instruction as something visible. Something visible. Okay, it's what we kind of find. So number one, the ornament upon the head is a reference to a crown or a wreath in that kind of way. And number two there, the chain about the neck is referring to as a necklace, right? That's what we call a chain around your neck. It's a necklace, okay? So why a crown and a necklace? It's kind of, Proverbs used, and Solomon uses a lot of visual illustrations, and we find this, but I want to see something here. When we think about a crown, typically we think about a crown is earned, right? It's not necessarily just awarded, it's earned. But here it is the visible ornament of how our lives have been shaped by and for the Lord. Okay, this is really what we're talking about, this thing. And then the necklace is more than decor, okay? It's not a decoration. Okay, I want us to understand that he's not talking about we need to really dress ourselves up. That's not what he's talking about here. But here in this sense, it's an emblem of our position in Christ. Let me bring this down just a little bit. If you want to write this reference down, I'm going to read it because we're going to turn to these. We're not going to have time for everybody to get there. Genesis chapter 41, 41. Genesis 41, 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. See, it was an emblem of his authority, right? Daniel chapter 5 and verse 29. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And so we find here, and I'm just showing this representation, how we find this in scriptures, how the chain was more than just, ooh, now you're all decorated up. No, it was really an emblem of something in your life. Your place of authority, in that sense, your place of authority or your position. Right? Okay, B. Grace isn't something simply to be heard. It is to be worn. It's not just to be heard. So number one, truth is not just something you know about. Okay, what I'm saying here, the intention is not just to know it. Okay, man, I know a lot of truth. Well, so what? See what I'm saying? I know a lot of truth. Well, that doesn't really speak of your ability, does it? Doesn't speak of your character. Doesn't speak anything. So truth is not something to just know about. It becomes something you carry with you. Okay, you carry. Matter of fact, here what we're talking about, you carry it on you. Is the visual. Number two, a person who has received instruction properly. Okay, when we talk about receiving it, that means they didn't just hear it. It became what? Part of them. Watch this. Thinks differently. Someone that's received instruction, they think differently. You don't think like you used to think. Now that, you ever heard this, and I've said this sometimes, but you ever heard this? You can't unlearn something. I mean, once you learn that thing, if you really learn it, if you really receive it, it is on you now. It's you can't get rid of it. I mean, sometimes we wish we didn't know those things. Right? But once it changes our thinking, if you've received that instruction properly. You respond differently. You respond differently. Right? That's his wife. So when that goes off, it's his wife moving. I want y'all to understand. It's not. He needs to take care of that. It's okay, brother. We know you need that. I appreciate brother David. Many people in his situation just forsake to do, and he's found a way to make both work. It still embarrasses him, but I understand. So listen, we don't just think differently. The person that's received instruction doesn't just think differently. We respond differently. So if your thinking has changed, what would you say to somebody that thinks differently but doesn't respond differently? Something's wrong. So these go together, really. And then they carry themselves differently. Right? Yeah. No, they do. No, listen. If you have received instruction properly, these things will come with it. And when you carry yourself differently, why does someone that gets saved, this is funny. When somebody gets saved and all of a sudden they hadn't even learned much yet, but they already start carrying themselves differently. That's something. And because what all of a sudden something comes and says, you know what, now it matters to me. Now I think differently. Now the things, the way I used to think, I don't think that way anymore. And how I used to respond, I'm not like that anymore. Carry themselves differently. And then number three, this is not about information. It is about formation. Right? This is what, it's not just about giving you information. It's about, it's really about forming you, forming us into something different. This is why instruction is so valuable to us. And if all you do is sit there, not you, I mean, any of us, if all we, it sounds better than you. You people, all of us are in that same boat. If all we do is get it put at us and we do nothing with it, right? And we don't really receive it, you'll see the people, they'll go, listen, I'm telling you, you'll see them come here week after week after week, year, month, year, decade. They've not changed. What a waste. You know what I hate? You know what I hate most about that is I could find myself doing that. And you realize, man, why didn't I pay attention? You know, and so I just sit in the corner and cry about it. No. You know what I do? Once I then now receive it, now it starts to make that change in me. So you might say, you know, Pastor, I've been like that. Some of the most miserable Christian people I know are people that sit in church and never really receive it. Miserable. Just there. And I don't mean, I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about receiving the truth and let it, that instruction of God, do something in their life and change them. Listen, it's not just about information. It's about formation. Number two, Roman numeral two. Instruction received produces a life marked by grace. Okay, again, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. This is the most important verse in Scripture. Okay, just kidding. Okay, my son, hear the instruction. This is my only one here. There's all the rest I could give. Okay, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. Okay, A, grace here is not salvation grace. Okay, it's not a saving grace. It's not what it's talking about. It is the beauty, the favor, and the attractiveness of character. It's what it's talking about here. That's the blank there. Character. It's the grace of that character that comes from these things that are being taught. So number one, this grace is produced. It's not automatic. Okay, just because someone's saved doesn't mean they have this grace from instruction. And this is kind of what I want to get across to us tonight. This thought right here at this point. Just because we're in our place doesn't mean we're going to grow. This is why some people get in church. Oh, I've been saved for 30 years. I know all that stuff. Okay, you know about it. But you don't know it. Well, and whoever the you is, you know. But I've been with people like, I've been in church for 40, 50 years or whatever. They'll say things like that, and it's like almost offensive that you're trying to tell them something about the Lord. But the fact is, just being in our place, but you know, you like to say, but you're sitting in the same spot you've always sat. You're doing the same thing you've always done. You're witnessing the same no people you never did. Right? You're living the same way you've always lived. Well, I just kind of arrived. You know, the Apostle Paul said, not as though I have attained or have attained already. It really is what he's talking about. He said, I'm pressing toward that mark. Still going. End of his life. He said, I'm still, I want to know Christ. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. You know, he said, I want to know those. He was still going. And imagine us to say, well, I think I've, this is about as good as I'm going to get. No, that's where you're stopping, if that's it. And it's about this thing of receiving it. So it's that character. Number one, I already said that. Grace is produced, not automatic. Number two, when instruction is received, watch this, restraint is learned. When we receive instruction, we learn restraint. And then number three, that produces a life that is steady. A life that's steady or consistent, we might say, respectable and trustworthy. And that's what the Scripture calls grace. That's here, this kind of grace. It's I'm telling you, there is, if I say it this way, it's unmatchable. A believer that receives instruction. I like to speak of it as a teachable spirit, right? And when somebody that will receive instruction, they have a teachable spirit, it's like they want to learn something new, not so they have new information. They want to learn something new to do. In the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, it says, teach them to what? Observe. Right? We don't just teach them stuff. We want to teach all the theological doctrines. So I know some theology. Right? No, he says, teach them to observe. Right? So teach them to follow. This is the thing. We don't just teach to know stuff. We want to know. We want to receive it, to do it, to live it, to let it be something that's different. And when somebody is there, they become steady. They're in their place. They're respectable, and they carry themselves in the right way, and they're trustworthy. Man, this, I tell you, I really do. I don't think there's anything more valuable in a body, a church body, than a believer like this. I think having people like this throughout the church is what makes a church valuable. That grace. Listen, I'm going to say this to you. Don't miss this, because this is the point of this passage. It is something that can be seen. You get that? It's meant to be seen. Well, I really in my heart, that's who I am. It's wrong answer. If you've got to explain to somebody how Christian you are, something's wrong. It should be an ornament. It should be a chain. It should come out of you. Well, I'm just not as good as other people. Wrong answer. Quit. Let's don't do that stuff. Let's don't compare ourselves amongst ourselves, because that's not wise. It's not wise. And so when we look at that, it should come out of us. It's a character, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so, look here, number four. A believer who receives instruction becomes adorned with character. Man, so would we then say the opposite is also true? Right? One that isn't adorned with character is not receiving instruction. So you know what we... Here's what we do, and this is kind of a thing that happens with us. Human nature is we give a moniker or this thought or this idea of maturity or spirituality to quiet people. Oh man, they are so put together, so mature. No, they're quiet. Now, that could be a quiet person can be. Don't misunderstand this. If you're quiet, you can't be holy. No, that's not my point. But what I'm saying is, sometimes we just say they're quiet, and then you're like, oh man, they're. And then you finally get to talking to them one day, you're like, oh, that's why you're quiet. Your language is bad. You know what I'm saying? You ever seen people like that? Oh wow, go back to quiet. You know what I'm saying? Or they're mean. You know, you're like, wow, this is a weird thing. I've seen people that are just so quiet. You're like, man, they're just, and you know, they're evil in their heart. And finally, you're like, that's I'm talking about some people I've met. I'm not talking about everybody. It's quiet. Don't misunderstand. Bear's over like, oh, man, he's talking about me. No. Brother Johnny. So, no, listen. But when you start talking to somebody and, like, you start, there's mean spirit coming out. You're like, wow, there's something. But the person that's kind of more talkative, we think, you know, like, man, they are an idiot. What happens, they kind of show everything. You know, here's really, I think, what the truth is. Character isn't about how loud or how quiet we are. It's about the character and how we carry ourselves. And probably people that are more talkative, let me use that, more talkative, of one I am, okay, have more opportunities to say stupid stuff. Okay, that's just how that goes. But here's the thing. A believer who receives instruction becomes adorned with character. And one that doesn't have that character of a Christian, I think it's fair to say, at least to make the connection, that they haven't been receiving instruction. They've been in the place to hear it, but it's not been received. Roman numeral 3. This grace is formed through submission to authority. Like, how do we go there? Okay, look back at verse 8. Again, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. I want us to understand this. The instruction here he's talking about comes from a father and a mother. Okay? So are we talking about wisdom? Are we talking about instruction from a mom and dad? You know, what's going on here? What's happening here? Okay, number one. This is not accidental. It is the God-ordained authority. God had a plan. When you look at... So, remember... Y'all remember that fellow by the name of Moses? Y'all remember him? Yeah. And he was up on a mountain. He went up on a mountain by himself. And what was he going up there to get? Yeah, the Ten Commandments. And... He had one big old tablet, didn't he? No, he had two, didn't he? He had two. At least that's on Ben-Hur, that's what they show. No, it talks about these tablets, right? And, a lot of times we talk about how some relate to God and some relate to our relationship with man, right? Have no other gods before you, not to make engraven images, these kind of things, not to use the Lord's name in vain or these kind of things. And so, but when we get to the fifth one, we... Often what we do is we shift the fifth one from God over to our relationship with man. Honor thy mother and father, right? But the reality is, I'm not saying it is, because we don't know. God didn't say it necessarily. But these are just kind of some conclusions we make. And I've read some commentators say it this way, and I thought, man, that's interesting. And I kind of can see that. It's really part of those that relate to God, because when we honor our mother and father, it's not because mothers and fathers are honorable. It's obedience to God. This is about God setting an authority. And what God said, he said, listen, he said, not all moms and dads. Well, what if my dad is really bad or my mom's really bad? You know, listen, God said, I'm setting up something for you. Now, they've gotten more and more. There's always been wicked moms and dads throughout history. There's always been that kind of thing. But God is, sometimes you know what we like to do? Your testimony about the fellow you're trying to reach there, what ends up happening, what we do a lot of times is we want to use an extreme example to make the law of who God is. Right, kind of like I'd mentioned Sunday, we like to use the one example of the thief on the cross why we don't need to get baptized. The guy that was literally pinned to a chunk of wood, couldn't move. Well, he didn't do it. He died up there without doing it. Okay. So if you're nailed to a cross, you don't need to be baptized either. We don't want to go with that part. Well, what if you're in prison? What if I can't? Okay, if you can't, obviously you can't. But every other time we find in the scripture, but what we often do, I've done this. I mean, we don't want to get mixed up with the wrong thing. So we say stuff. And the reality is what we want to take is this one outside example, right? And say, that's the rule. But here's the thing. So we have some bad parents, but God created them. Most parents, I would say most by and far, love their kids. Or at least like them a little bit for a little while. Right? Start that way. I think that's fair. I think my mom and dad think I'm fairly decent. Not now. Not always. Where am I at? Okay. The instruction comes through. It's God-ordained authority. Number two. I like to chase rabbits, but then I forget what hole I'm in. Okay, number two. When a child hears, receives, and submits, they are learning something deeper than following an instruction. Okay, A, they are learning how to live under authority. See, I want you to understand this. This is we only got one parents in here, a couple of parents, some parents. I mean, that are still kids around. You're like, bunch of parents in here. I mean, the kids. A few. Okay, there's some. Now I'm looking around. Who's? I'm still raising mine. So this is why instruction is important. Well, I just don't want to tell him no. Yeah, because God didn't ever say no. You know, I think there's more thou shalt nots than there are thou shalts. Right? God said no a lot, and God still says no a lot. And he says to the nation of Israel, he says, and so listen, there's some things we need to be told no because we need to get us out of being in control. When a kid receives and submits to the authority of a mom and dad, they're learning something more than just, see, you know, why shouldn't I do that, Dad? I don't think we ought to always answer the question why. Because I said. He said, was that really enough, Pastor? I don't think it's enough, ultimately. I think it's a start. Why do you do that? Because I said. There is a song that sing, talks. I can't remember. Not we sing, but we heard it. It's maybe we'd sing it because I said so. Have y'all sang that one? Because I said so. I don't know if we sang it, but it's just really about God. Why did God? This and this happen because God said so. That's it. God said. Well, why does God do that? Because He's God and He said so. Learn that. That's a good lesson to learn. I just don't like the way God does. So what? If a cop pulls you over and you tell him, I don't think it's right you pulled me over, he doesn't care. He doesn't care what you think. Matter of fact, you might agitate him by telling him, I don't think you should have pulled me over. I've watched some of these videos around. We got an interesting, Florida's great. Y'all, I don't know, y'all that haven't lived outside of Florida's awesome. I mean, it's just so funny. The sheriff down here is like, hey, somebody breaks in your house, shoot them. Save us the problem. You know, I'm like, that's awesome. I mean, I don't want to shoot people, but I don't want to kill nobody. I don't want to do that stuff. I also don't want people in my house that I didn't invite. Y'all are welcome. But I won't shoot y'all. The thing is, but they'll say stuff and they're like this. But I'm telling you, listen, I've watched these videos. There's also one out in, I think it's New Mexico or something like that. Somewhere out there, Arizona, somewhere, they show this cop all the time. He's pulling these guys over. It's hilarious. And they'll say I don't have to give you my driver's license. Well, actually, you do. He said, no, I don't. I know. He said, you're either going to give it to me or I'm going to pull you out of this car. And all they did is probably like speeding or something like that. And they're like, well, I don't have to give you. He's about to, and I've seen something. He pulls them out. I'm like, all right, who's the cop? You know, you don't just tell a cop. We don't tell God. God, I need a good explanation. By the way, when a child learns to hear, receive, and submit, they're learning something deeper than just to follow that instruction. This is, they've learned how to live under authority. We are, folks, you know this. You know this. We're living in a generation that is no longer under this. But this isn't just about Dr. Spock. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all do. Who's Dr. Spock? If y'all don't know, he was a parent guru, child raising guru. So he thought. Ruined a whole generation. All the parents followed. Don't spank your kids. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do it. Let's just gently massage their psyche. Yeah. Right? Man, it was so effective. So now we think, wow, there's just some kids. They don't know. If you've been a teacher, if you've ever been around teachers, you know kids don't know how to respect authority anymore. And I've told you all this before. I was a bad kid. I was the worst kid in my class when I was in elementary school, in the school. I was the worst kid in the whole school. And I'm not exaggerating. I wish I was. I was the worst kid in the whole school. Elementary, that was. There was a lot worse kids in junior. But I still respected the teacher. I would never talk back to the teacher. Now, if she turned her back, different story. But while she's looking at me, you know, because I wasn't scared. They ain't scared no more. They ain't scared no more. You know what I mean. It's like, good thing you ain't teaching these kids, right? Don't use that kind of grammar on your papers. All right. So, listen, when we're teaching kids to hear, to receive, and to submit, we're teaching them to live under authority. How to yield their will. But I want to... And I'm being a little bit funny to try to make the point, but it's not so I don't care. I don't think God doesn't care about us. It's the point to say, listen, I know what's better for you than you do. God does. God knows what's better for you than you do. By the way, I may not always get it right with my kids, right? I didn't always get it right. But you know, what they did learn is how to submit and surrender their will. Right? And that's what we're doing as parents. It's not that parents are always right. Dads are. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. Okay, so we teach them how to yield their will and how to respond to truth. This is so important. B, grace is not detached from authority. See there? Grace is not detached from authority. It is produced through rightly responding to it. This is how that grace, that character comes, is from responding to authority. Number one, the one who rejects instruction becomes self-governed. The one who rejects instruction, they govern their own life. I'm in charge. Of me. I decide what I want. I decide what feels good. If it feels good, do it, right? Isn't that the philosophy of the day? And I want to do what... I don't need your instruction. By the way, let's don't extrapolate this too much. We are talking about the instruction of the Lord, but the process for that God's given is the instruction of parents. And sometimes parents will give... bad ideas. I don't mean bad, but just like, you know, I think you need to go to bed at 6 o'clock at night and stay in bed till 8 o'clock in the morning. I know there was a place, but I don't want to get into it. I know there's a place, 12 hours. It's an orphanage. They made the kids stay in bed for 12 hours. That'll just hurt your soul, you know, thinking about little kids. Like, you got to stay in your bed for 12 hours. Like, good night. Okay, so you only have to take care of them half the day. Is that it? Anyway, don't get me started. But my point, though, on this is some decisions might be poor in that way, but it's still the same point, right? Parents will say, man, I just don't know. I'm not sure what to do. Do something, and you're going to be better than doing nothing. Because what you're teaching them is something deeper than just this thing that you're dealing with. God, it's about getting this grace. And so, number two, the one who receives instruction becomes truth-governed. Ha! You thought it was going to be God-governed. Sorry, I had to catch some of you. It's about being governed by the truth. It's about this thing that says, I'm going to follow the instruction. And so we're teaching this thing, and it's there. Let's see, where are we at here? Man, I'm so close, yet really so far away. And so we're going to save the rest of this for next week. So keep your hand out. There's no way I'd have to speed read. This is why it's going to be a lifetime to get through the Proverbs. But man, this is such a value. It's, man, wouldn't it be great to have like the wisest guy that ever lived on this planet to give us a book of stuff on how to live this life? Right? And this is what's awesome. It's there, and it's not just some pithy little thoughts. This is, man, son, this is what life is. By the way, it says to his son, and we've talked about, you know, passing on wisdom. It's to his son, but this is what God used this man to give it to us. And we find this thing, and so, listen, I want you to remember this. And when we're dealing with the fact of what we're teaching, and parents, you know, those are parents, and those that fill some role of teaching kids or instructing kids, and you think, man, I don't always get it right. None of us ever did. None of us ever did get it right. All the time. Sometimes. There are a few times we get it right. It's not this here, what we're talking about. I'm not talking about right versus sin, wrong, in that way. I just mean perfect. But here's the thing. This is this thing about teaching them something that's going to be so deeper. It's going to give them that relationship with God. They're going to interact. There's a reason why generation after generation in our current era is turning from God. They don't have a concept of the authority in their life. And so we've failed. And I say we, I don't mean us in this room. I mean our generation. Our generation. And we may not be able to help the whole world. But I'm going to tell you what, we got some kids back here. They came into our school, and some of them need a little more love than others. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? They need a little more love than others. And, I'm going to say, I hope I don't embarrass, but if it does, you'll get over it. No, but when Hayden came in, Hayden was, you know, he would get upset with how much work he had to do. He'd get upset when he lost. He'd get upset different things. I'm telling you. A little bit the structure in there. I'm telling you, he now helps the other kids. He now helps the other kids. A kid comes up and says, and he said, "Nah, we don't do that." He helps them. We got this new kid's been here a couple weeks now. He's over there acting like a kid that just got in here from, and Hallie's over here telling him, "Hey, we don't talk like that here." And so she said, and these kids, I'm telling you, she's like, "No, we don't talk like," say, "No, we're not going to, hey, how about you do this instead? Why don't we stand up now?" She's over there helping him. We got in here. I can't, I mean, you know, but how many times we had to tell her, "Hey, it's not time to talk. Not time to talk." We spent about first semester. No, not going to. Now she's like, "No, we don't talk now. We're not going to talk now." It's amazing, and so, listen, I'm telling you, you say, are we always going to get it right? We're not always going to get it right, but doing something in this way is going to develop something deeper. And so when we have whoever's in your life and whoever's there that you can help that, he's like, "Well, was that just your kids?" It's here that's who it's talking about, but I think it's anywhere we get to do that with people, and let's help them with that way. Father, I do pray that you'd help us take some of these truths that are here in your word and really make them real in our life, Lord, that we might put some of these things on. And Lord, of course, next week we'll look at the rest of this. And Lord, I pray that you'd, Lord, give us a desire to, Lord, not just receive instruction and truth to have information, but that we might have some true formation. that we might look like what you're trying to develop in us, to be conformed into the image of your Son. Lord, I thank you for it now in Jesus' name.